Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Dr. Jay, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon to yourself. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Are we much clearer now?
Yes, a lot clearer.
Ah, fantastic. Great to hear that. Well, Pastor, we are continuing talking about coping with loss and grief. And yesterday, we talked about Job's experience, you know, and grief. And, you know, today we actually want to focus on God's response, you know, to the understandable questions that Job had for why he was experiencing such pain. And we look at Job 38, you know, from, I think, verses 4, right up until 32. We're not going to be looking at that all of it. But we're just going to look at verse 4. He says, God responds there and says, where were you when I had laid the foundations of the earth? And then, have you ever had in your days commanded the morning light? He says that on verse 12. And then, where does the light, you know, leave? Or where does darkness reside? This is on verse 19. Can you lead out a constellation in its season? That's on verse 32. So God responds in this way. And one may be led to believe that God is saying, we have no right to question why we experience pain and loss. How are we supposed to understand God's response to Job? Does God want us to open up to him in our pain, or does he want us to keep quiet and just absorb it because he's God and he has said so?
Well, perhaps on the contrary. If you look at the earlier utterances of Job, to God in his desperation, in his, where there were more questions than answers, Job sometimes makes declarations and so on. Yesterday we saw how, for instance, he said in a worshipful mode, responding to his loss. We spoke about how he lost both his children, material things, but also lost a good relationship with his wife, who was also overcome by grief, obviously.
Yeah.
Because she was the mother of the children. But then Job says, naked I came into this world, and naked will I go. Blessed be the name of Jehovah. So perhaps right from that, what I may consider one of the first utterances of Job, Job appeals to his understanding that God is the author, is the provider. And we are and we have because of his provision. He may have misunderstood the details, like whilst God is the provider, Satan is the one who took away what he had, not God. Now, with that in mind, we begin to notice our limitedness in understanding God. So God is saying, in my view, when he finally responds, he is saying to Job, it is true that you have no understanding, no full understanding of who I am. I am more powerful, which to me is a bit problematic when God talks about how powerful he is to somebody who is in trouble. Because what that means to most of us is, if he's that powerful and all-loving, why didn't he stop the problems, the tragedies, which is our questions today when we are faced with grief and loss?
Yeah.
Why didn't God stop? Why didn't he prevent the accident? We prayed weeks on end. Why didn't he remove the disease that took away our loved one? Starting from the very verse, chapter that we are appealing to going forward, God says, I provided from the beginning, and I provided out of nothing. When he appeals to creation, you and I will remember that he provided before he created us. He provided for us. So perhaps hidden, behind what seems to be threatening and arrogant response from God. He is reminding us he wouldn't have created us for nothing. Not only does he sustain the universe as he's speaking there, we are sustained by him in spite of our suffering. If he can't hold the universe, which he didn't create, Job, that is, God can. But if he can sustain the universe, he can sustain one human being. In spite of the implications of what Adventists have referred to as the great controversy. Now, part of what he asks Job is, do you know how long is the gestation period of a mountain goat? Do you know how long is the pregnancy? Do you know the labor pains that it goes through? So God keeps saying, telling him a lot of things that he knows or does not know, that he can, things that he cannot do. But if we have a God that cares enough for mountain goats that he feels their pain when they are in labor, and he says when it finally gives birth, same thing, he talks about a wild donkey. He says their children come out, and in no time their children walk away from their mothers who went through a lot of pain to birth them. But so we see a God who is present when animals go through pains of their own. Pains that may have no reward and no consolation at the end, because those very children, of those babies of those animals, unlike the human babies, they don't even hang around their mothers. Once they're of age, they walk away. And the relationship comes to an end. So I'm hearing God in those difficult questions saying, Job, I got you. I will not explain myself, and God does not. And I would appeal to us also to be humble enough to not be overly involved in what Bible scholars would call theodicy, where we seem to defend God and explain how we are the ones who are misunderstanding him. He's a good God. God doesn't even bother to assure Job by saying, no, I was doing this for your good. Look at the bigger picture. No, he doesn't even say, God, we know that God didn't cause the calamities, but God never clears his name about that. So I think if I personally would admit I don't understand God fully, I don't have the capacity, but I'll hold on to those small statements, like when he tells me in my period of pain and suffering and anguish that God takes care of the sparrows. He sees when they fall, the same way he tells Job that he's present when a wild goat, a mountain goat, is going through labor, and when a wild donkey is going through labor, he cares. Jesus himself, he says, your father is watching over the sparrows. And for me, the poet then comes and says, and I know he watches me.
Oh yes, indeed. That's actually quite comforting, that indeed he watches over me. Now, Pastor, how do we draw the line between genuine confusion about our situation, expressing our pain to a loving God, vis-a-vis venturing into disbelief or crumbling like the Israelites in the wilderness?
Look, the fact of the matter is that Even after the wilderness, after your priests had studied the promises of the Messiah in the Old Testament, both from the prophets and the law, the books of Moses, the shadows that God had had provided with them. When Jesus came, people still preferred their own version of the Messiah. So the presence of information in front of us, information without humility, information without surrender to God, whom we don't fully understand, but working with the little that we know, we'll discover how we may easily fall into the same trappings of old Israel, both in the wilderness and when they had reached the promised land.
Yeah.
We would want to say again and reiterate that where we are confounded, where we are confused, where we lose hope one way or another because of the power of grief, the anguish that comes with it, when the darkness that envelops us, let us hang on to that, the little that we know for sure about God. If I may appeal again to a poet when they say the God of the mountains must still be God in our valleys. And if we leave those poets aside, like we said the other day, another poet called David, the God of the green pastures, let him still be the God of the dark valleys, of the shadow of death. David says, I will hold on to your staff and your rod when I go through my dark valleys. In other words, when I can't see you, when you're not making sense to me, I will hold on to that which I held on to, that which I knew for sure during my green pastures day. And God has a way of coming through, my brother. I know in a very personal way the experience of loss, grief, pain, and mourning. There are always no words that suffices. I can tell you, I don't remember the sermons that were preached, and I'm a preacher at that time. I preach in other people's bereavement moments. But I've often felt inconsolable, but just God has a way of just giving his unique God hug during that moment. And he sees us through the dark valleys. Those valleys seem to last forever, but we just somehow, when we are there, know he's there, right there with us. And it makes the difference.
Beautiful stuff, man. I said very, very encouraging. And thank you so, so much for this, Pastor. So tomorrow we will talk about what lessons we can learn from Job's wife and his friends and how we should show up for those who are around us when they need our comfort. Pastor, thank you so much for joining us for this afternoon.
Wonderful stuff. Thank you for giving me an opportunity. And may God bless your ministry as always and continue to sustain and provide for you. God bless.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor. Speak tomorrow.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.